Perek Dalid. Okay, Pasuk Tezayin. Daniel Perek Dal Pasuk Tezayin. At this point, to recap, Nebuchadnezzar says to Daniel, he tells him the dream, he tells him all the details after he has been unsuccessful in trying to have his other wise men reveal the interpretation. He lays out in great detail the dream as we've gone through yesterday, and then he says, "And Daniel, tell it to me the way it is. Don't hold back."
No, it's in Dalet. What's the
Perek Dal Pasuk Tes Zayin?
Tes Zayin.
Edayin then Daniel Dishmei Bel Tishatzar. Daniel, whose name was Bel Tishatzar, Eshtoimam Kishaochado. Now this is very interesting. He was in shock, in bewilderment, for a shochado, for a moment. It's not clear what a shoh. In throughout Chazal, the word shoh is used differently. Sometimes shoh means an hour. Sometimes it means a moment. Sometimes, what? A short period of time, and it could mean different things in different contexts. So here it does not tell us exactly what we're referring to, but it was a period of time. He was in a state he was an eshtoimim. Rashi seems to lighten the word. It's very interesting. Rashi says shosak, he was quiet. By saying shosak, Rashi is downplaying what's going on. Like over here, if not for Rashi, you would say Daniel hears this dream. He hears about this massive tree, which is can be seen from one end of the world to the other, and he sees that all of a sudden the entire tree is destroyed. It's a very frightening vision. And part of the vision is the interpretation, and then the roots are going to be tied with iron and copper chains to the grass, and the goes on to say there's going to be a human being whose heart turns into the heart of an animal. So you'd expect the person to hear such a dream to start shaking and to start being terrified, especially when Daniel realized that this dream is referring to Nebuchadnezzar. He's probably wondering, how in the world am I going to tell Nebuchadnezzar that you're going to lose your mind? What greater insult can you tell the king than to say to him, you're going to lose your mind, you're going to become an animal out in the field? So that's what you would think, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says shosak, he hears the dream and he's just trying to figure out how to deal with it. He was quiet, speechless, but it's a word which downplays the simple interpretation of the word eshtoiman. He was in a state of shock. Kishochado v'rayonohi yivahalune. And his thoughts, Machshavah Yisrael Rashi says, Yiva Halune, so Yivulim was Bahola. We think he'd be confounded, he would be shaken up. No, Rashi says, Shayore Liftor Loichal, he was afraid. Just simply, he was afraid to tell him the interpretation because it was a bad omen for Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so when the king saw that Daniel was silent, he was holding back and revealing the interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar, he raised up his voice and he said, the Amar, Bel Tishatzar, Chelma, don't hold back. Be honest with me. I want to hear the truth. Chelma, the dream, Ufishrei, and its interpretation. Al Yiva Haloch, let it not frighten you. Onei, and in other words, tell it to me the way it is. Onei, Bel Tishatzar, the Amar. So Daniel, whose name was Bel Tishatzar, he raised up his voice and he said, Mori, my master, Chelma, the dream, Lisson Och, to your enemies. Listen, achu fishrei, and its interpretations, li'orach. Li'orach is another word which means an enemy. Rashi says, listenach. Rashi says the word is exactly the same, because it's pasuk in Shmuel where you have the same exact word. It just means two different words which basically mean the same thing. May its interpretation be applied upon your enemy. So, in other words, what he was telling the Nebuchadnezzar was, this is a very bad dream. This dream tells what's going to happen to a person. It's going to lose his mind, and chas v'shalom should it happen to you. May the interpretation happen to your enemies. So I guess he had to say this, because if he would not say this, Daniel felt that he would lose his life, and the Nebuchadnezzar would kill him for saying such terrible things. However,
like,
this
yourself.
Brace yourself for what's coming. Now let me read you the Medrash. Okay, you don't have this in front of you, but let me read you the Medrash. The Medrash says, Morei, my master, Nebuchadnezzar, the dream shall be for your enemies, and the interpretation shall become upon your enemies. Mi shederish hamikra ze oisel daniel kimetich dvarm klapi maila. Sha'amar, anyone who interprets this pasuk literally, if you interpret the pasuk literally, it's as if Daniel became, he's doing something horrible. What do we mean? The Gemara, the Medrash explains it. Shemos Rabba, Sha'amar l'Nebuchadnezzar, Morei Chelmo l'Sanach, V'haloi, who is the enemy of Daniel? Here's the Medrash. V'haloi, Ein Sono Ba'olam Yose Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the greatest enemy of Nebuchadnezzar? Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar is a sonei to Hashem. He destroyed Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. He exiled Hashem's chosen nation. So Daniel is saying that may this dream come upon your enemy, upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu and upon his nation. That's apikorsis. That's that you couldn't say a worse thing. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Hashem's home. It comes out Daniel may Daniel is saying things which are disrespectful towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu with these words. The Jewish people are the enemies of Nebuchadnezzar. How over here can Daniel curse Klal Yisrael? So the Medrash says, the answer is, it's like, let me give you an example, where Yaakov Avinu, when he tricked his father Yitzchok to give him the brachos, and after Yitzchok felt the arms of Yaakov, he said, are you really my son? Hakol kol Yaakov, the Hayodai Yimidei Esav, are you really, who are you? Who are you? And he says, Anochi, I've got the exact words, but he said, Esav b'chayrecha. I am, you have to, yeah, Anochi, Esav b'chayrecha. So if you read the three words together, it means, I am Esav, your firstborn. How is Yaakov is the Ish HaEmes. How is Yaakov Avinu allowed to lie? So what does Rashi tell us? He didn't lie. He put a comma. Anochi, I am who I am. And by the way, Esav b'chayrecha. Esav is your firstborn. Hashem caused Yitzchak to hear him say, Anochi Esav b'chayrecha. But in truth, it wasn't a lie. It's very difficult. I mean, it's not going to really hold water in court. But this is what Chazal say. Okay, it obviously requires a lot of interpretation to understand the depth of these words. But over here, Daniel is basically doing exactly the same thing. That's what the Medrash says. When Daniel says, may this come upon your enemies, so the Ela Nosan Daniel Libay Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when Daniel heard the dream, so Daniel, he was speaking not to Nebuchadnezzar. He was speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I hear this dream. Wow, this massive tree is going to be destroyed. And this person is going to lose his mind. So Daniel says, Ribbono Shel Olam, may this dream come upon your enemies. Your enemy. Who's your enemy? Nebuchadnezzar. So it's all a matter of who you're speaking to. Where do we have the same thing? We have the similar, I don't remember all the details, but Esther and Achashverosh. When Esther, Nihu Ish, Hashem, what is the second? I don't remember the details at this moment, but there were different conversations between Esther and Achashverosh, where Esther was really speaking to Hashem. Esther was not speaking to Achashverosh. She was talking to the person in front of her, but she was praying Kav Yachol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time it says the word HaMelech in the Megillah refers to the Melech Malchi HaMlachim. In the Megillah, sometimes it says HaMelech Achashverosh, and sometimes it just says HaMelech. So you have to be very careful. You look very carefully, you'll notice every time it's Samelech, it really can be interpreted that this expression is this idea is being expressed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have it very often. It's a very common a theme in Megillah Esther, and here you have it again according to this Medrash. So if you take the pasuk literally, it's impossible to understand that Daniel was saying that may this thing come upon your enemies. And how could you say that about Klal Yisrael? El Nos and Daniel Ilibo Kneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yamar Mori Shabashma Master My in Heaven Haveya Sachaloyim Lissoyna Chozeh, which is Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so this is what he said. If you look over here, Rashi says come out the same thing. Mori Adoni, my master. I'm reading Rashi in Pasuk Tezvav. Adoni Amar Rabbeinu Mori Chelma Lissonoch Kodeshu. this expression, my master, this word master is not to be interpreted as a master of chol, of Nebuchadnezzar, but he's the word mori is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mori alma. It's kodeshu. Tola einov HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yomar chaloim ze yiskaim al sonacha. On your enemy ze, on this enemy. V'yim toim Nebuchadnezzar amar v'alo yisrol soinoi. V'yim toim to Nebuchadnezzar, Rashi says you can't learn the pasuk literally that Daniel spoke to Nebuchadnezzar and said to Nebuchadnezzar, "May your enemies suffer this faithful dream." Follow Yisrael soinai. Is it possible that Daniel would curse Klal Yisrael? If that's how we have to interpret this pasuk, okay, pasuk Yizayin. What is the dream?
Where are we in
Shmos Rabbah? Lamed Chaf Dalet. Next, Ilana di Chazaisa. So now he begins the interpretation. The tree which you have seen, di Riva Usikif, which was Riva. Riva means it was very massive, large, Rav, Usikif, and powerful. Virume, and its height, Yimte, reached Lishmaya, to the heavens. The Chazose, Lechol Ara, and its appearance was throughout the entire earth. It was so massive, it could be seen all over the entire earth. Wherever you stand, you can see the tree. The ofye pasukit chest, and the branches, shapir, are beautiful. The inve, and its fruit, is sagi, is very much. Umazon luchulabe, there is enough food and sustenance in this tree for the entire world. Tachtosi, beneath it, beneath this tree, todur, will take shelter. Chevas bara, the wild, the animal, chevas are the animals, the living creatures of bara, of the fields. Uve an fohi, and in its branches, yishkinon, will dwell. Tsi pare shemayo, the birds of the heaven. So he's describing, basically repeating the dream. Who is this tree which is massive and provides shelter and provides sustenance to the entire world and reaches one end of the earth to the other end of the earth? And who Malka? So right away he drops a bomb, Daniel, and he says, "It's you." Can you remember, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar was so arrogant that never would even for a moment willing to accept upon himself the possibility that this tree refers to himself, because the tree was destroyed. And Nebuchadnezzar was extremely arrogant. He would never contemplate that he would one day come to an end, his malchus and his mind, he would lose his mind. But Daniel over here says, "I'm sorry to tell you, King, it's you. It's you." And like he tried to soften the blow in the previous pasuk by telling, "May it not come upon you, may it come upon your enemies." At least that's what the Nebuchadnezzar was thinking. Even though we know that Daniel was not really saying it to the Nebuchadnezzar, he was saying it to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he was trying to soften the blow and say, "In truth, the dream refers to you. Maybe somehow we can work things out. We can manipulate the dream by doing different things where it will not come upon you, it will come upon other people. But you have to be aware that the simple interpretation is that it's you, Pasuk Yutes, Antu Malka, it is you, the king. Dira Rivas, Rivas Usikift. You are great and mighty. Urivusoch Rivas, and your greatness has expanded." Okay, over here, we're just playing with this word of Ravas, which is Lashon of Rav. "Your greatness has multiplied and expanded to a very great degree. Umitas Shemaya, and has reached the heavens. Your fame and your success has gone to the extreme limits of this world. Vishaltonoch, and your authority, L'soif Ara, extends to the end of the world. Pasikov, V'dicha Zomalka, this that you saw in your dream, the king, ear is an angel, as we mentioned yesterday, it's a destructive angel. Kaddish, the Kaddish, but it's holy. It's coming from a holy source. Noachis, that has descended min Shemai from the heavens. V'omar, and has said, go do Ilana. And this angel has given the command that the tree should be cut down. V'chabluhi, and it should be destroyed, cut into little pieces. Baram, however, Baram means but, even though the angel gave the command that it should be destroyed, Ikar Sharsha, Shalhi, the main roots, the roots which provide the anchor and the sustenance, Be'arosh Shivuku, let it remain in the ground. But even though the roots remain in the ground, I want the roots to be shackled. Uve Esur Difarzel, with shackles, chains which are iron, Unechosh and copper, Bidissa in grass, this is Deshe, grass, Divara of the field, it shall be tied, the roots shall be tied with chains to the grass of the field, Uvital Shemaya Yitztaba, and in the dew of heaven, these roots will be moistened. Yitztaba means Yirtaf, to be moistened and wetted by the dew of the heaven, Vimchevaspera Chaloke, and the roots will share, will have the same portion of the wild animals of the field. Adi Shiva Idonin Yacha Yachlefun Alohi, until 7 periods pass. This will endure for 7 years or 7 different kubos we discussed yesterday. So he's reviewing that part of the dream. Dino Fishra Malka. This is the interpretation of the king. I'm about to tell you what this means, what the significance of this part of the dream is, that the roots will be in the ground and will be shackled to the grass. This is the interpretation, Ugzeras Ilohi, and it is the decree of the Most High, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no way in the world you're going to be able to escape this. Dimitas Mori Malka, which has touched, which in this context means it has come, it has been handed down, al Mori Malka by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The loch. Now, what is the message? Pasuk of Beis. The loch you tardin. It means that you will be banished. You will be in exile, min anosha, from mankind. In other words, you're going to lose your mind, you're going to be banished from mankind. The imchevas barol lehavei midorach, and your dwelling will be, midorach means your dwelling, a dira. Your dwelling will be with the wild animals of the field. The ispa and grass, kisayrin loch yitamun. Yitamun means to taste, and kisayrin means oxen. You will taste grass just like oxen eat grass. You'll become an animal. Umital Shemaya Loch Mitzabin, and the only way you won't take showers and baths, but instead you will cleanse yourself with the dew of heaven just like the animals do. And this will occur, will endure Vashiva Idonin Yachlefun Aloch, and this will pass over you for 7 years. Adit Sinda, until you know. Why is this going to happen? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to humble you. Hashem wants you to know. Sinda comes from the word Deya, Dishalit Ilo'o, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ilo'o refers to the Most High. It's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem rules this world, not you, not your guard, Bel Tash Atzar, and not any other god. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who controls this world. The Malchus and Asha, he has authority among the kingdom of man. Ulimandi Yitzpe, and the one to whom Hashem wants. Yitzpe means rotzon, will. The one who Hashem wants to grant authority, Malchus, success, control, Yitnino, Hashem gives control. Hashem rules the world. Lev melachim biyad Hashem. Hashem appoints the kings. Hamamlech melachim v'loy hamalech. We say that on the Yom Ne'rayim. Hashem is the one that's mamlech melachim. He's the one who appoints kings. He brings about world events. He puts the machshav in people's minds who they should elect, who they shall appoint as a world leader. And then once they're their leader, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls their mind by bringing about different events to influence them to do different things. So Pasuk of Gimel, V'di Amaru L'mishpak, and this, V'di means and this, Amaru, that it was said in the dream, the significance that the root shall remain in the ground, L'mishpak, to remain, Ikar Shor Shohi Di Ilona, the root shall remain in the ground, that means Malchusoch Loch Kayoma, your Malchus will one day be restored. There's good news. The bad news is, go do ilana. You're going to be cut down. But the good news is, you're not going to be obliterated from this earth. The roots will remain. After the 7 years pass, your malchus will regenerate. You will be restored to your position. You will, your mind, your intellect will return. Kayama di min di sinda. Again, all so that you should know the Shalitin Shemaya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has authority over this world. Okay, so that's pretty much, he finishes the interpretation. That's the dream, and that's the interpretation. The only real chiddush that he's telling him that Daniel is revealing to the Nebuchadnezzar is a very small point. It's you. That's really it. The dream and its interpretation really... The dream itself gave its interpretation. There's going to be a person who's a tree. He's going to be cut down, and he's going to behave like an animal. And the good news, though, is that since the roots remain in the ground, that means you're not going to be totally destroyed. There's going to be hope of regeneration, regrowth. You will be restored. But the point that Daniel is telling the Nebuchadnezzar, it's you. It's no one other than you, and you're going to lose your mind. And the other thing, and as the dream itself does say, as it is mentioned in the dream, that Daniel says to the Nebuchadnezzar, the purpose of all of this is to humble you. You are extremely arrogant. In fact, we learned back that in Sefer Yeshaya, Nebuchadnezzar said, Adam Elo Elyon, I am comparable to God. He considered himself to be God. He considered himself to be an equal to God. Hashem is humbling you to take away your intellect to show that you're not a God, you're nothing, and He will slowly allow you to come back to life, to restore your intellect, and in the process, you will be able to see the world from a different perspective, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shalit over the entire world. Now, Pasuk of Dalim is a fascinating pasuk, and this is discussed at great length by many of the commentators. Daniel now goes on to give Nebuchadnezzar advice. Advice is, I have a solution for you. You can stall, or you can put off, or maybe you can even annul the bad dream. We learned that Daf Yomi not so long ago, that if a person has a bad dream, what do you do? Tainus Chaloyim, even on Shabbos, that we discussed in great detail. So here he's giving him another solution. Lohein Malka, the king, Milki Yishbar Aloich. Milki means my advice. It's a very interesting word. Milky. A milkshake? What?
Milky.
A milkshake? No, it's not a milkshake. It means, milky means a advice, an etza. I want to give you some good advice. The word milky comes from, look at the, it's very interesting, mitzudos, atzasi, the mitzudos sion, kimo, like vayimlach, libi olai, my heart, Nehemiah gave counsel. So, what does a king do? Yes. A king gives advice.
No, he takes advice.
He takes and gives. It's both two ways. He takes advice and he gives advice. He gives counsel. He tells the world what to do. He gives over. You have a wise man to be the king. Okay. It's both ways. Okay, fine. My vayimlach, and this pasuk libi olai, my heart counseled me. Okay, fine. The word melech and the word milky are related. It means advice. So now Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, King, let me give you some advice. Milky, my counsel, yishpar, lashna, beautiful, may it be pleasing, aloyich, upon you. And what I'm going to tell you, v'chato'och b'tztok of firuk. The reason why there is such a bad dream, such a bad omen, is because obviously you're a sinner. You're going to suffer this punishment of the tree being cut down, and all these terrible things are going to befall you because obviously you've done terrible, terrible sins. The terrible sins are your arrogance. You've destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, you've exiled the Jewish people. You're a Rasha. So Hashem wants to punish you. You're a sinner. So I have a solution. The way you can atone for your sins is through tzedakah. V'chato'och, your sin, bitztakah, through tzedakah, firuk, redeem. Va'avoyosach. That's another word for sin. There's a chait, an avon, pesha. We learned the person goes to mikvah, he dips three times. Because of chait, avon, and pesha, the three different words. So here's another word for sin. Va'avoyosach bimichan on anoyin. By being kind and gracious to the poor. Two different words for tzedakah. There's some poetic repetition, tzedakah, and chein to the poor. Chein so that to have archa, there shall be length. Archa means to expand, lish lev soch, your peace, your tranquility. Right now, everything is wonderful. You have a wonderful life. You're very successful. You have a bad dream, a bad omen. What's going to happen to you? If you want that your malchus, your success, shall continue to extend, and this terrible bad thing shall not happen, just listen to me. Do what I tell you to do. Give tzedakah and be gracious to the poor, and you will survive. Okay, now, let's go pasuk chaf hey. What happened? However, kola mito al nevucha netzar malka. Didn't work. He gave, well, we'll see in a few moments, the Midrashim, he did listen for a time period. He gave tzedakah, he took the advice. For 12 months, he supported the poor. He gave tzedakah, he supported Klal Yisrael, he did tshuva. But after 12 months, he went back to his old ways. And then, the dream came upon Nebuchadnezzar. He lost his mind. He went out into the field, behaved like an animal. He took off his clothing, and he ate grass like the oxen, and did all of these strange things, and no one can reason with him. And he turned into an animal for 7 years. Slowly his intellect came back, and as it came back, he realized where he was and what happened to him, and he was humbled, and he did tshuva, and he began to realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu indeed is the Melech of the world, and he is nothing more than an instrument in the hand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the big question over here is, how was Daniel allowed to give advice to Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha for him to atone for his sins? The sin was so great, what he had done, how he exiled Klal Yisrael, and how he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Why was Daniel allowed to give advice to Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah to mitigate the punishment? So indeed, the truth is, Chazal criticized Daniel for this. And Echanami, they learned that this was a chait. This was a very big mistake. Let me read to you that's something else. That's really okay. So the Chazal criticized that this was a mistake. He was not allowed to do this to advise him to give tzedakah. Russia, it's not our business to be misaking the sins of non-Jews. Now, I did see something very interesting in Rav David Cohen's Sefer, Oyel David. He has a lot of beautiful chidushim, and he says that, why is that so? There is a Beferish Rambam, he brings Mamori Chazal, where a goy, a non-Jew, is chayiv in tzedakah. Okay, this week's parish, the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noyach. I don't know exactly in which one of the categories of dinim, which one of the categories of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noyach does it fall. But the Rambam says that the Leman Asher Yitzav Esbon of Achav Lasso is Derech Hashem. Lasso, it says by Avram Avinu, it says that there is a requirement to do tzedakah. And from this, Chazal learned Avram was before Matan Torah. It's not just for Avraham's own children, it's for the entire world, also for the Bnei Noach. A goy has an obligation to give tzedakah. So the question then is, why do Chazal criticize Daniel for advising Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah, to atone for his sins, when the halacha is, a goy is mechuyev to give tzedakah and support the poor? So there's really nothing wrong with what Daniel did. Rav David Cohen says an incredible chiddush, a beautiful answer. He says there are two different types of tzedakah. There's tzedakah for the yachid and tzedakah for the tzibur. This that it says in the Rambam Kamat says it, that a non-Jew has an obligation to give tzedakah, that's on a communal level. That means a government, a community. If there is a government in an authority, that government, that body, has an obligation to see to it that no one starves, no one is homeless, to do tzedakah. But the individuals of the nation, every single citizen of that nation, does not have an obligation on their own to give tzedakah. By Klal Yisrael, not only is there an obligation upon the tzibur, upon the bezin, upon Klal Yisrael as a whole, upon the melech of Klal Yisrael, or the tzibur, that there should be programs for people that are destitute, people that are really cannot help themselves, people have special needs, you have to... Every single individual has an obligation to give tzedakah, to give ma'aser, to give this leket shechen peah. There's a whole long list of different ways that individuals are chayiv to give tzedakah. But by a non-Jew, there's no such requirement for the individual. It's for the tzibur to give the tzedakah. So the criticism that Chazal applied to Daniel Nebuchadnezzar is not a criticism that Nebuchadnezzar should see to it in his malchus, that the malchus itself should see to it that there are no poor and they're taken care of. The advice Daniel gave was you, Daniel, on a personal level should give, because we have to answer this difficulty.
Yeah, but as head of government, it would be
presumably
a government.
So that's where do you draw the balance? The Nebuchadnezzar is the government. Right, he is the government. He's a one man show. There are people that are so wealthy there they have more money than some countries have. Yeah.
Is part of the machlokes about the Medina accepting reparations from Germany, give them special.
It's a very complicated issue. I don't there are different opinions about that. The chalukideis.
The chalukideis
about taking money from Germany. I don't know the answer. But this just want to just focus over here on this idea. Just an interesting idea. There are two, which also we should be aware of, there are two dinim in tzedaka. A personal tzedaka and a tzedaka from the tzibur. Yeah.
I want to go back to the first statement you made about Russian by Goy. You take a look at the Maisa Yonah.
Yeah.
Yonah sent by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but they say, do tshuva. I'm going to destroy it. But they stay on and destroy it. They do tshuva, right? They sit, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu substitute. So why would it be any different here?
Because it could be over here the sins were against Klal Yisrael. There they were sinners against themselves. There was a corrupt society. They took advantage of the poor. They had nothing to do with Klal Yisrael, not that I'm aware of. It was just a corrupt society. Terrible things were happening in that society. So Hashem says it's got to stop. Hashem sends Yonah to Nineveh, tell them to do tshuva for their terrible sins. Here Nebuchadnezzar is at war with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a different type of rishus.
The fact that in 1 year he did exactly what the Lord told him to do.
Yeah.
Don't that seem to show that there was no criticism of Kodesh Baruch Hu to Daniel? We have many times Yishai would criticize Chizkiyahu that you did this. And,
correct.
So here we see 1 year at work.
Correct.
Kodesh Baruch Hu was maskim.
Yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted his tshuva. Yes.
I don't want you to say it. But all right, you said it, as my representative. Reluctantly or what? How do we interpret that? It was accepted.
It was accepted for during that time that he gave tzedakah, nothing happened to him.
So does that show Hashem was masked?
Yes. Yes, well, it worked. The fact was it was a solution that it did work, and as long as he continued to give tzedakah, he was spared. As soon as he changed his mind. He already was complacent. He thought that it's not going to happen. Time passes. Mashayasa hazman lo yasa hasecha. A year passed. A year is a long time. Everything is fine. Nothing is happening. So he figured, oh, look, nothing. Maybe the dream was just total nonsense, right? Dreams, not every dream really has meaning. Also, you can be mevatel a dream. You can do good things. Things can change. And the dream doesn't have any meaning anymore. After 1 year, he felt secure enough to stop giving tzedakah to the poor. And at that moment in time, little did he realize that that was his only protection. And now the korban came upon him.
But I'm trying to get an understanding. The Chama criticizing him. He's saying this, and yet the outcome with the Eved, whichever expression you want to use, didn't work. So was a Chama's criticism with Chachila, you should not have told him that. Yes, we know the outcome was Hashem accepted it for temporary period duration, but we don't like what you did at the beginning. But okay, it worked. I mean, how does that come into play?
I don't understand.
It worked all together. Chama said you shouldn't have said it, and look what happened. Hashem said, ain't gonna work. I don't want you.
It did work.
It did work.
For 1 year, it worked.
Yeah, so
he was speared.
If he had kept doing it,
then he would have been spared with peers his entire life.
So why do Chacham criticize him? I'm trying to get an understanding.
Because it's not your place to fight Hashem's battles. Nebuchadnezzar was a Rasha. Nebuchadnezzar was a terrible Rasha. He did the worst things possible. He couldn't be anyone worse than Nebuchadnezzar. He destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. He exiled the Klal Yisrael. He was extremely arrogant. He believed that he was God. He was more powerful than God. And he was a world leader. The whole world looked up to him, and he had an enormous influence over the entire world. So here Daniel comes along and is telling him, "You're not so bad, you're a good guy. You're a good guy, and just give some stock and everything will be fine and good." Zechil Hashem. A Rasha has to be punished for his actions.
So why did Hashem criticize Daniel and say, "Look, I know you told me this"?
So he was criticized. Hasach, so some like, I didn't finish.
I want you to go back to him and tell him what you told him, not my words, it ain't gonna happen.
Daniel was not a Navi. The Chazal tells that he was not a Navi. Hashem didn't speak directly to Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Anachad. I mean, Haggai is Chaim Malach. The Gemara compares Haggai is in this time period there were four people, four major leaders. Daniel and Haggai is Zechariah Malach. And the Gemara says that each one had a mile over the other. Daniel was a Chacham, was a wise man. And Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, their wisdom did not match the wisdom of Daniel. But on the other end, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi were prophets. And Daniel was not a prophet. So Hashem did not speak directly with Daniel. So you'll ask me the next, so why did Hashem speak to Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi? And they should go and they should tell Daniel that you've made a mistake. It could be, maybe they did. We don't know all the details. But the point is, at this moment in time, he was under pressure. He was under pressure. He was summoned by Nebuchadnezzar. He was told a dream. He told interpretation. And maybe Daniel was afraid for his life because you tell the king that you're going to lose your mind. I mean, what kind of greater insult is there than that, to tell the king you lose your mind? And for some reason, Daniel said you'd give that. Also, you have to say something else. Another very important thing. There's a trade-off. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He told the Caesar, "Spare me Yavne v'chachomecha." So there's an ongoing debate. Did he do the right thing? Maybe when he told the Kesar, he had a good moment with the Kesar. He was able to, he gave him good news. He could have said, "Let him leave the entire Klal Yisrael. Don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Don't do anything."
Says he wants to agree.
So that's the question. We don't know. No one knows what would have been. We don't know. Tafasta meruba loy tafasta. Tafasta mua tafasta. So he made a decision. His decision was, it's better to take some tefasta, b'loy tefasta, tefasta, b'tefasta, yavne v'chachomecha. Was that the right decision? Maybe he should have asked for more. Maybe he should have asked to spare the entire Klal Yisrael. Maybe he would have, the request would have been granted. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to live with that for the rest of his life. I once heard a very beautiful judgment from Rabbi J.J. Schachter. He discussed that it took generations to learn. The Klal Yisrael did not know if this was the correct thing. Only in retrospect can we look back and can we try to figure out, was it the correct thing to do? Was it not the correct thing to do? So here also, we have to. So the point I want to make is that the Klal Yisrael at this point in time were literally starving to death. They were on the verge of extinction. They were exiled. They were in Babel. They were slaves. They were the lowest rung of society. It wasn't like today, where the lowest level of society is taken care of. There, they were literally on the verge of extinction. So Daniel had to make a tough decision. Here I have an opportunity to save the Klal Yisrael. I'll tell Nebuchadnezzar, support them. Give them a piece of bread. Let them live. Even though that's going to come at the expense of Hashem not punishing his greatest enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, it's a trade-off. Everything in life, in Chazal and Tanakh, is always a trade-off. You can't have everything. If you focus on one thing, you're going to lose out somewhere else. This is a mitzvah in life. The trade-off over here is, if I tell Nebuchadnezzar, I say nothing, then he'll lose his mind, he'll go mad, he'll be punished. And what else will happen? Klal Yisrael will also cease to exist in a much greater level. I don't that mamish nothing, but we'll lose many, because many of them will starve to death. On the other hand, I can tell Nebuchadnezzar, you have the opportunity. There's bad news coming for you, but take advantage. Do tshuva. Give tzedakah. Let the Jewish people in Golus live. What's the trade-off? Chil Hashem. The trade-off is that the world is not going to see immediately at this moment in time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam, and He does not tolerate fools. Does not tolerate fools like Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel made a tough decision. He figured that in the long run, it's better that Klai Yisrael should survive, so that generations later they will bring about in this world a greater Kiddush Hashem than the Chil Hashem that's going to occur now by letting Nebuchadnezzar live and survive. It's all a matter of trade. Let's just do from a psukim. Liktsas Yarchin Treyasar. At the end. Liktsas means the end of Yarchin Treyasar after 12 months. Al Hechal Malchusa Dibaval Mahal Chava. So this happened. Everything that was supposed to happen, Nebuchadnezzar was walking along the palace and he was extremely arrogant. Pasuk Chava. The Pasuk of Zion. We don't have a problem, but it's not our business for us to initiate their tshuva process. Yadus is not a religion where you go out and see converts. You're not supposed to go out. Adrabah, if someone wants to become a ger, you have to discourage him. We don't want gerim. We don't. Other religions, that's the whole of the missionaries. They go out. That's what it's all about. You have to go and convert the whole world. That's not the way it is by Klal Yisrael. You don't go out. So over here, Nebuchadnezzar is telling, Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar to do tshuva. Is it his business to tell him that? So the Chazal criticized him. It's not your business. But Daniel did it anyway. Why did he do it anyway? So we gave two different answers. Number one is because when it comes to tzedakah, a guy does have an obligation to give tzedakah. And the mistake was, there's a difference between a yachid and a tzibur. He's telling Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah on a personal level to atone for his sins. That was too much. That was too far. Or the second interpretation, it was a trade-off. The trade-off is that Klal Yisrael is starving to death. And if we don't do something with Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrel is starving to death, then you're permitted to tell a guy to do tshuva in order to spare Klal Yisrael. We have the same thing with Hordis. Bab ben Buta told Hordis to, you have destroyed all of the Chachamim and do tshuva, and the tshuva was to rebuild the Bayis Shem, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Also, there was a trade-off there as well. It was not necessarily proper thing to go tell him to do tshuva, but since over here there was a gain for Klal Yisrael that the Mikdash will be rebuilt and there will be a great Kiddush Shem Shemayim, that case it was more necessary. Let's just move from Pesukim. Liktsas Yachin Treyasar after 12 months. 12 months with 12 months of the tshuva, you support the poor. Al Hechel Malchusa Dibavel Mahal Chava. He was walking along his palace. Oni Malkov Yomar, the king raised up his voice and he said, Halo Dohi Bavel Ramesu. Look at this beautiful country called Bavel. The Ano Ve Nice, which I built, Leves Malchu, as a place of my kingdom. I built it. Biskof, here we have with power, Chisni, strength, Vilikar, and honor. Hadri means my splendor. Vilikar Hadri, and my beautiful splendor, Hodar. Hadri comes from the word Hodar. Another pasuk Chavches. But Oid Mil, so therefore this refers to the beginning of the dream. This would happen, that there would be this beautiful, massive tree that's seen from one end of the world to the other end of the world. It was the light of the entire world, Bavel. But now, suddenly, after all this arrogance, Oid Mil Sabapumalka. Now the Medrash goes and points out over here that when he saw this beautiful kingdom, he was in love with himself. He was so happy, what is beautiful. And then he heard some poor people knocking on the door. And he said to his servants, who are these shnoris? Who are the shnoris here that are knocking on the door? So the servants said, it's the Jews. So he says, the Jews? He says, yeah, you give them a few dollars every day. Every day they come once a week, when they come, whenever they come around, you give the shnoris a few dollars. He says, why? Don't you know? A year ago, Daniel told you have to do this if you want to spare yourself. So, enough already of Daniel. It's already been a year. I gave enough already to these schnurrs. No more. Because he was so in love with himself and the beauty, he was disturbed that the schnurrs disturbed his tranquility. Such a, it wasn't just they come with their mud. And they open the door. It's not pleasant to see them. So he said, no more. Tell the schnurrs to get lost. I'm not giving them one more penny. Immediately, Oy the milsa b'pumalka. I think going to the Medrash, the milsa means when he gave that, when he made that decision, when he told his servants, no more. Tell the shnoris not to come back anymore. As he said those words, kol min shemayinaf nifal, a voice came out of heaven. Loch amr Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is said. To you, Nebuchadnezzar, it is said. Malko, the king Malchus, saw Odos Minoch. The Malchus has been taken from you. Odos has passed. You're no longer the king. The Malchus has passed from you. It's over.
History.
Your history. And all of a sudden, what happened? Pasuk Chav Tes, Umin, Ana Sholoch Tordin, and from mankind you'll be banished, Rimchevas Bera Midoroch, and you will live with the wild animals of the field. You'll live Ispa, grass, Kisarin, like oxen, Loch Yitamun, you will taste Vishiva I Donin Yachlofon Aloch, and this will pass over you for 7 years. Adis Sindon, this is going to happen until you learn your lesson. You learn who's in control. Adis Sindan, until you know this Shalit Ilo'a b'malchuso in Asha, that it is God who rules over the kingdom of man, Ulaman di Yitzpe Yit Nino, and to the one who Hashem wants, he grants Malchus. And then we'll stop here, and then it goes on to describe exactly what happened to him, and then more details of what happened and how he recovered, and we'll take it from there on Monday, Mirtz Hashem.